This podcast is brought to you by Other Podcasts. Other Podcasts, when you just don't have the time to make up the material yourself. Be sure to listen to lots of other podcasts today.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hi, I'm looking for the latest edition of Podcasting for Dummies for my partner who forgets to hit record.
Over there, in the media corner.
All right.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for Wednesday, April 16, 2008. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the inimitable Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I bet you can't say that three times fast.
It almost came out as immutable. Unmutable.
I'm that too. I'm doing good, man. How you doing? I'm excited, man. Having a good time.
It's a good time. It's been a good week. It's going to be a good rest of the week. Lots of things happening. Lots of things to tell. Lots of things in the show coming up, including... Wait for it. There we go.
Okay.
Star Wars gets steampunked. Build your own Amiga 500 and a match made in heaven. All that
Sweet.
And more coming up right after this.
Matches in heaven. Fire.
On this day in tech history for April 16th, 2008. This is April 16th. It's the 107th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 259 days remaining until the end of 2008. It was on this date in 1178 BC that a solar eclipse may have marked the return of Odysseus, legendary king of Ithaca, to his kingdom after the Trojan War. Spanish conquistador Hernando de Lerma founds the settlement of Salta, Argentina on April 16, 1582. It was on that same date in 1780 that the University of Munster in Munster, North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany is founded. The first passenger rail opens in India from Borribunder, Bombay to Thane on this date in 1853. And it was 5 years later that the Wernerian Natural History Society, a formal Scottish learned society, was wound up. Harriet Quimby becomes the first woman to fly an airplane across the English Channel on this date in 1912. April 16, 1943 marks the date that Dr. Albert Hoffman discovers the psychedelic effects of LSD. Queen Elizabeth II launches the Royal Yacht Britannia on this date in 1953. And it was April 16, 1972 that Apollo 16 launches towards the moon from Cape Canaveral, Florida.
April 16, 1972. Apollo 16, man's fifth lunar landing, sat silently on the pad awaiting its mission.
Happy birthday goes out on this day to Petrus Apianus, the German mathematician, born on this date in 1495. British collector and physician Hans Sloane, who was instrumental in the founding of the British Museum, was born on this date in 1660. Also born on this date in 1682, John Hadley, the British inventor. Joseph Black, the Scottish chemist, was born today in 1728. German mathematician Ferdinand Eisenstein was born today in 1823. Born April 16, 1867, American aviation pioneer, one of the Wright brothers, Wilbur Wright. American actor Barry Nelson was born today in 1917. He was the first actor to portray Ian Fleming's James Bond.
There's a trivia answer.
English F1 constructor and team principal Sir Frank Williams was born today in 1952. Celebrating his 56th birthday today, voice actor Billy West, who's the voice actor behind Futurama's Philip J. Fry, Dr. Zoidberg, Zap Brannigan, the voice of Richard Nixon's head, Ren and Stimpy, and many others. And finally, happy birthday to American astronaut David McDowell Brown, born on this date in 1956. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 16, 2008.
Technorama. Feed your inner geek every week.
Welcome back to Technorama.
Technorama, Technorama, welcome back.
Technorama, Rama, Rama, Rama.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
We need more echo.
We need more cowbell on the show.
Yeah. Actually, shh, don't give away the idea we were working on the other day.
I started to.
Speaking of which, did you get a hold of the band?
Excuse me?
Did you get a hold of the band?
The band? You mean the boys?
The band. Never mind, let's go on.
Okay.
Craig, you're famous.
Yes, thank you very much, Chuck. If you listen to the latest Podcasting for Dummies episode, I want to thank Chuck for making an example of me.
A fine example, too. Actually, the stammering. I could have picked some better
clips. Yeah, it was the stammering thing. Oh, man. I was listening to it. I was like, okay, that's not too bad. He used us as an example for interview with Dead Air and whatnot. I was like, cool. And if you have somebody with stammering problem, you can also fix. I was like, oh, come on.
A lot of material ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, and if you have a partner that talks really funny during the middle of the show for no reason, you can cut that out too. And never mind.
Okay, let's go on.
Yeah.
Hey, want to remind you to stick around till the end of the show. We've got a Craig and JT from the GigCast went off and did their own thing, and I think they're trying a new career or something. Stick around, listen to the very end.
Yeah,
after we give you the binary.
After the 101 and all that.
Yep.
Stick around to the very end.
And make your own decision. I'm sure you'll be intrigued.
Come on, it wasn't that bad, was it?
Moving right along, I'd like to thank listener Brian for his donation to the tip jar. You know, I'm always going to think of that new way of their singing it. Technorama.
If anybody can hook us up and make that happen.
What, make that sound like a real choir?
Yeah.
How are you going to get the orchestra behind that thing, dude?
You know.
Just walk into your local performing arts center and go, excuse me, do you take requests?
Where have you been in the last 15 years? Do you know sampling is like easy as pie to do?
Sure. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Brian gave us a generous donation in the tip jar, which we greatly appreciate. It goes right to the costs of running this operation and keeping this operation running. Does that make sense?
We're a profit organization, by the way.
We're a profitless.
We're profitless.
Time to
We're
give
a profitless
us,
organization.
Time to give a special shout out to the chat room. And I think they've gone with error messages tonight. We've got Archangel SBSOD. Bad Sector Wolf, which is normally Bad Wolf, I believe.
Yeah.
Beach Ball of Death, Claudio Meditation. Wow, that was spelled with a number in there too.
Yeah.
Country Mem Full Error, Captain 406 Error. Oh, they're switching things around on me.
We got just you can't
a
do that.
BSOD.
I'm calling foul.
Yeah, they're switching around.
I'm calling shenanigans.
Deb Druck and Retry Abort Fail. JT Ukes at 404. All he did is add a 4 on the end of his.
Yeah.
Very creative. Kern Panic Syndrome. Lord Cat. Marv OS Not Found. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
Mick Clover Missing Intellect. Oh, no, his intellect is missing.
Quote unquote missing intellect.
Is that an error message?
Yeah.
Mr. Sim Soul Blaze. The Giant One and Tim Click of Death. Wow, that sounds like one of those moves from Kill Bill.
Click, click.
I give you the click of death, and you can walk 4 or 5 steps, and then your mouse will die.
Yeah. I've had that problem before.
One birthday showing up on the Technorama birthday calendar. April 18th is Scafie's birthday. And I think, yay, I already mentioned that it's also my wife's birthday. What kind, yay, of man would I be if I did? And well, since you, this will
say it
come
properly.
Out
on, also on the 18th.
And since this will be coming out on the 16th, which is Donna's birthday, I got her a signed copy of Infected.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
I like them apples.
Yeah, I found out that Scott Segler wasn't coming to Charlotte for a book signing, nor Appleton, Wisconsin.
Bummer. And I don't think he's going to be at the New Media Expo, so we're going to find some other way to hook up with that man.
He was there last time, wasn't he?
He was, but we didn't connect.
Yeah, then at that point, it was like, Scott Segler who?
Oh, I know who he was.
I know. I'm just kidding. I wish I had spoken to him. I didn't really... I think he was sitting right there with everybody when we were hanging out in the bar area, but oh well.
You may be right.
Yeah, I think he was.
Anyway, if this happens to be your birthday and you're not on the Technorama calendar, consider putting your name on there so we can call you out by name and wish you especially good birthday wishes.
Yeah,
you can do that at the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki.
And the tip jar also gets you further along and getting your name mentioned on the show.
Yeah, we'll boost up your... Google rankings, something.
Your Technorama ranking.
Whatever.
Yeah.
If you're not on the calendar and it's your birthday anyway, happy birthday to you. We wish you all the best. Tip in the tip jar.
Tipping a hat to you.
If you happen to be around on Sunday nights, about 9:30 Eastern, join us in the chat room and watch us on the live audio and video stream. You can find all that information at chuckchat.com/webcam. We got your bases covered. Ready for a quick break, and then we'll run with the news?
Yeah, sure. Wake me up when you're on the other side.
How are you, Craig?
I'm good.
You sound good there, Grandpa.
The Illusion Islands.
The Elusive Islands?
It's next door to Fantasy Island.
The plane.
Tattoo, why are you chain smoking again?
The plane, boss.
Sound okay to you?
You sound bad.
Shut up, man.
Hi, this is Tom Dutchick from Immersion Presents. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Good news, anyone?
We have great news.
Space is full of crap.
Not yet. That's coming up later.
No, but it was a better headline to jump into.
Space is full of crap. I got a comment for that when we get there.
Okay.
Over at RetroThing.com, you can build your own Amiga 500 clone. The Amiga 500, nice, released in 1987, was Commodore's most successful Amiga model thanks to its all-in-one good looks. That's debatable. And reasonable $595 price tag. Dutch electrical engineer Dennis Van Vieren never forgot his Amiga 500 and launched an ambitious project to find an FPGA. Do you know what that stands for?
Something about graphics.
No. FPGA-based version of the machine in early 2005. The end result was the Minimig.
Minimig? As in Minimig?
A 12-centimeter by 12-centimeter board based on a modern 3.3-volt version of the Motorola 68000 processor.
Hmm.
And you can order your own and build this thing.
By the way, FPGA is Field Programmable Gateway Array.
Gate Array.
Yes. Yeah, that too.
Do you know what ASIC stands for?
No.
And it's not about the tennis shoes either.
I'm not lying. I don't know. Quit rubbing it in. I'm drinking beer.
I work for these people, man.
Man, you're such a buzzkill, dude.
Speaking of buzzkills, why don't you take the next headline?
Yeah, space is full of crap. Well, yeah, apparently Gizmodo has... Actually, they got a nice little article talking about all the junk that is in space. And if you look at it, it is kind of amazing to look at. Ever since Sputnik went up, all the stuff we've sent up and all the dead satellites. This is what they say. The European Space Agency has just released images showing the satellites of human-made debris now orbiting space as a result of 51 years of launching stuff since Sputnik. That's about 6,000 satellites up there, of only which 800 remain operational, plus thousands of other objects from launches and accidents. I'm sure that goes into the millions. According to their mind-blowing simulations, things are going a lot worse. And they say about 50% of all trackable objects are due to in-orbit explosions, events, about 200 are collisions, events. I mean, that's pretty big. That's a lot. I imagine so. And how does a space shuttle avoid all that crap?
It's at a different orbit. I mean, think about it, Craig. I'm calling shenanigans on this. Yes, 6,000 is a lot, but think if you put 6,000 people on the face of the Earth, how close would any of them actually be? And now blow them out to anywhere from, maybe 100-mile orbit to 24,000-mile orbit, all at different levels. Now you're adding a third dimension. They're not going to ever see each other.
Well, I think it's just what they said, though. They have about 6,000 satellites. 800 of them work, okay? So they're actually movable and able to navigate. Okay, the 5,200 of them, a lot of them have, I said about 50% of them have exploded, so there's parts flying around, pieces.
Okay, sounds like a business opportunity to go up there and collect junk.
Let's go, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Build yourself a rocket, get in and go.
Okay, I'll edit this part out and we'll make a plan. No, but it's a pretty cool article. I think, I don't know, maybe they should build some Death Star laser to blow some of the stuff up.
That's what I was thinking, target practice. But they need to have more junk.
Yeah.
And these things are, these pieces are flying around at like 17,000 miles an hour. Even the slightest little nut or bolt can go right through a windshield.
What we needed is a big dish and mount it somewhere on a big area of land on the Earth so it went from orbit. It will look like the Death Star.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
A big net.
A big net, just catch them.
A big scoop. A space scoop.
Space scoop.
Hacks and Strange Stories! Moving right into the Hacks and Strange Stories, Popular Science has an article on exoskeletons.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty neat if you go there and there's a video showing this thing in motion. But since Iron Man is coming out, they said that this is the real Iron Man. Because, Iron Man has this suit that gives him some strength and all this kind of stuff. And it's an exoskeleton. Well, this is a real exoskeleton. Guy's got it on his back. It looks a little big and cumbersome. Bulky, that's the word I'm looking for. But it actually was pretty fluid. He's jogging in place and like he's, boxing. He's just standing, jogging in place and boxing. And it's very fluid. He's picking up weight. I think he was like, I forget how much weight in the video he was holding. But he was able to pick up weight. To him, I think it said it felt like 10 pounds. But it was like 50 or 60. We're talking about how much work this can actually help out with picking up things.
So, sweet, I'm bringing one of those to karate.
Yeah, I'm not fighting him. He's got that big thing on his back.
Big mech.
Yeah, but go there and look at the article. It's about 6 pages worth of, article. But there's a video of it in action, which is kind of neat. You can check it out.
That is cool.
Eat your heart out, Tony Stark.
We've also got another one from Boing Boing.
Boing, boing,
Craig's
boing,
all about
boing,
the steampunk. What do they do this time?
Yeah, I think this is the same guy hot on the heels of the Justice League America steampunk action figures. Here's some more Star Wars, and it looks like Grand Moff Tarkin and Darth Vader with a couple of stormtroopers. And
Grandma Tarkin?
What, huh?
Did you say Grandma Tarkin?
Moff. Grand Moff Tarkin. That's his name.
He said Grandma.
Grandma Tarkin.
Hey there. Go ahead, shoot.
Would you like some lemonade to go with that battle droid?
No weapons.
Anyway, go to look at these. Darth Vader looks pretty menacing like that. And I bet you if you saw Darth Vader like that in Star Wars, he'd really look scary.
Well, the stormtroopers were taken from, the Nazi stormtroopers. This makes them look more like it because it looks like they're wearing gas masks.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. I didn't, Yeah, it does. But if you go to the site, it's not just that part. But if you go to the site, which has a link below, there's C-3PO steampunked, R2-D2, which really literally looks like a trash can with a steam steam pipe coming out the top. Let's see, there's Luke with his lightsaber. But what's cool about the lightsaber? He's got this pack around like a shoulder like a satchel going around his chest over his shoulder. And yeah. It has a pipe going to the bottom of the lightsaber to give it power.
So they're not cordless.
They're not cordless anymore. Yeah.
Anymore. But, you know, no, these are the originals. They're not cordless.
But you know what? I'm telling you, this is what we talked about before on Star Wars, that I think some of this steampunk stuff would have really been cool if we had seen it in the newer Star Wars that came out, like the Phantom Menace or something like that. I think this would have been a little more interesting visually.
Well, they kind of did that with 3PO. They didn't put a skin on him and made him look a little older. He was kind of grungy looking.
Yeah, I just think it'd be cool to send some. I'd love to see if they ever remake the first movie. You know how they always remake movies. Be cool to see them in steampunk action.
They haven't done anything to the original episode 1, 2, 3.
They've only remade a movie. Remake movies. But anyway,
you'd have to go buy them again. Maybe this would be a good way to do a fan film. Hmm.
A fan? Yeah. Oh no.
You could do this kind of stuff when Yoda was a little boy.
You know, and we were talking about how much work was going into an enhanced podcast. Imagine, I don't know if I could do a fan film.
I didn't say you had to do it. I just said it would be a fun thing to do.
I'll get some goggles for Harrison and start from there.
You look like Anakin, okay? Deal with it.
You know, the Millennium Falcon kind of looks steampunkish, I guess. What do you think? In its current and known form?
In its heyday.
Oh, look at it. I mean, it's kind of got pieces all around it. I don't know. It's not really Victorian looking. Nah.
Although, you know who did a better job with some of that stuff was Firefly.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Because that was kind of neat because, they had like real pistols, but they were in a spaceship.
Yeah. It was like Western and tech. That was a good mix. I want that show to come back.
Yeah, no, but it worked very well.
Okay, quick break. We'll be right back with a Remember When.
When? Remember Juan.
Hi, my name is Julia Pose, and I'm 11 years old. I love gymnastics and karate. I have to go to school, and I do all the other things normal kids do. But I'm more than that. I'm a geek. I listen to Technorama Podcast. It helps me to maintain my inner geek. For your own inner geek, just go to www.chuckchat.com/technorama. I'm ready for my download, Mr. Tomasi.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
I love it.
And Technorama remembers the first portable computer ever, the Osborne 1.
Yep. Wow.
I was flipping through my Tech Republic material this past week and came across a kind of a photo gallery of them taking apart one of the Osborne 1s. This was pretty impressive. They did a good job. The Osborne 1 had a little 5-inch green screen and the old 5 1/4-inch full-height floppies.
Floppies are much larger than the screen itself.
Just about. I think the height of the screen matches the height of the floppies.
Oh, you know what? If you move it up, it looks like it would. Yeah.
And there seems like so much wasted real estate on that keyboard. But then they dig into it, and I think my favorite part was the masking tape that was found in there. And whoever did this is obviously pretty young because they didn't know all of their components. They were saying, "Wow, look, something from Malaysia." And is that thing with wings a heat sink? Like, oh, man, now I'm feeling old.
Mr. Ed, who's that?
Just about everything was through-hole components. The power supply was not encased in anything, but it does have lots of danger stickers all over it.
Yeah.
And just real good time looking through these pictures going, I remember that. And it almost inspires me to take apart my K-Pro too.
You know, you got a K-Pro too?
I thought you knew that. Yeah.
Maybe I did. I can't remember. I can't keep up with
it
all your
stuff. It came out about a year or two after the Osborne. They're both based on the Z80 processor and CPM.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I tell you what, what I think is impressive about this Osborne is look on the front. They put the parallel port right in the front. The printer port.
Is it?
Or serial, is that a serial port?
I see a port. Actually, I think up.
It says serial port. I'm sorry. It's an RS-232, and it says modem right beside it. A little DB9. It's kind of interesting that they put those ports on the front. You know, I did some computer work. I didn't ever work on the Osborne. That was pretty much gone by the time I started doing computer work, but I did work on a lot of those first compact portables, which is a lot of the same design, you know, where there's a keyboard, it snaps on the bottom, and there's a handle on the back side, so it stands up like a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing was, well, I got to where I could get in it and do repairs. We were a compact repair center. I was repairing motherboards, so you had to, it wasn't like just replacing a card or a component. I had to get all the way in, remove that, and replace it. And it was a royal pain to get into until you got used to doing it. Because they had like
which
all these
one?
Screws. That were, the compact portable.
The power supply on that was easy to change. I did a lot of them.
No, it's big like this. It reminds me of this design.
They were about the same size as the Osborne, but the power supply wasn't that difficult.
I'm not talking about the power supply. Motherboard.
The motherboard, that was a different story. Yeah, anything beyond the... Because the power supply, they used to burn out like once a week.
Yeah, they were kind of odd shape.
We used to send away for those to a third-party place that would refurbish them. Mm-hmm. And they blew out so much, you could literally... There was a sliding door on the plastic chassis. You could open up, take out about four screws, and pull the power supply out.
Yeah.
It was real easy to service that.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the power supply. Yeah, that, and there's some card slots right beside it. But no, behind it, getting the motherboard out and replacing things like that, or even the screen, was a pain.
Well, most motherboards back then were a pain.
Yes, yeah, especially if it had a name like Compaq on it.
You had to do a complete disassembly, whether it was a desktop or a luggable or anything. Yeah. Motherboards in general were a pain.
I got to where I could pop in and out, but I say quickly, but compared to the first time, you know, it's... But, yeah, HP and all those... I like these designs, but, yeah, they were huge. They were monsters.
Did you smash your knuckles?
You know, how many times have I smashed my knuckles... Scrape my fingertips across the bottom side of the circuit board.
I love those through-hole parts. They go right through your fingers. Yeah. That's what it reminds me of every time when I donate blood and they kind of prick your fingers. Like, oh, I touched another chip.
Getting nostalgic. the worst thing that I've had, and we've talked about this before, is when you used to put in the memory chips and... Me, I would not use. I didn't like using the chip inserter, so I would stick one leg in, set legs in just a little bit, and then bend, you know, push, and then when those new set clear the holes, then push down.
Yeah,
and I would do that, but sometimes they'd roll over and they'd stick in your edge of your thumb.
You pick up your finger and there's like four leads stuck in your finger.
Yeah, the chip is still there. It's like, yeah. I just didn't like that. I always thought the chip inserter was too slow for me. You have to stick it on there and, you know.
Craig wasn't too much on those OSHA standards.
OSHA? I like staying at the OSHA side and hang out and drink beer. And
with that, we'll move into the media corner.
Yeah, the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Quick rundown of the new show, spinoff of Doctor Who, called The Sarah Jane Adventures. Episode 1 was on. Did you catch it?
I did not.
Oh, it's called Invasion of the Bane, and I'll sum it up in one line. Zoidberg's relatives try and sell Slurm.
Aliens come down, set up a lemonade stand, and that's about it?
And try and take over the world.
So was it good?
That's about it.
Did you enjoy it?
I liked it.
Did you?
I liked it. It was an hour and a half, so it was a bit longer than I had anticipated, but the whole family watched it, and we thought it was pretty good. And the girls went, this is just like Doctor Who. I said, well, it's a spinoff of Doctor Who, so they're learning what a spinoff is.
Yeah, well, I read that this is more family-friendly, of course, than Torchwood.
I haven't seen Torchwood yet, but I've heard the same thing. Sarah Jane was as family-friendly as Doctor Who. They threw in the same kind of humor. She doesn't have a whole lot of powers or abilities. You know who Sarah Jane Smith is, right?
Yeah, it's one of the original, or not original, but one of the older companions.
Right, right. One of the former companions. And she had a part on one of the...
Yeah, she was on there the
second
a couple
season,
years ago.
I think. Yeah, second yeah. season, mm-hmm. I think she was on there. When they were at the school. And K-9 was on there also. And K-9 makes yeah. a little bit part in there, so we'll probably be seeing him from time to time. A lot of character K-9. Development. But it's not... Well, I guess it is all about her, but they were sort of developing characters, so it was tough to really say who the center of attention was on. Mm-hmm. But it was good. It was good. I liked it. And again, if you like Doctor Who, the new adventures of Doctor Who, you'll like the Sarah Jane adventures as well. So
oh,
see
yeah.
if you can catch
love,
that.
Love the Who, man.
If anybody wants to, you know, record a review
who,
and send it to us.
Who's representing? Who representing?
That's right. We'll find out. And when Craig sees it, all he's going to be thinking about is Zoidberg's relatives try and sell Slurm.
Yeah, you've ruined it for me now. Thanks, man.
About every other line I would turn to Julie and go, try to drink the soda, will you?
drink. All right.
There literally is a part where everybody's walking around like zombies going, drink it. I thought, how many people were able to say, I had a bit part on that show as yeah. a mindless zombie? Oh, you're perfect. Acting is not a requirement for this thing, obviously.
Well, definitely. I'm going to check it out then.
Also in the media corner, we have Homestar Runner game coming to the Wii.
Holy crap.
That's what it says. Wired.com starts out their article. Holy crap, the world of Homestar Runner is coming to WiiWare.
You
got to
read it right.
Telltale Game.
You got to say it. Wait, Chuck, you got to say it right.
Holy crap, the world of Homestar Runner is coming to WiiWare, courtesy of Telltale Games.
Yes, Telltale's super secret episodic WiiWare game has finally been revealed, and it goes by the name of
Strong Badge Cool Game for Attractive People, or SBCG for AP.
Actually, you know what? What's sad is my son actually got excited when I told him about this.
Does it come like, wow, with built-in like, keyboard really? Sound effects?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
More details about the games courtesy Telltale are below. Telltale is working closely with Chapman's on the series' art style, storylines, and scripts. This hands-on collaboration will deliver longtime fans the ultimate Strong Bad experience and give new players a crash course in the series' offbeat and unusual humor. The episodes play like extended cartoons, during which the player assumes the role of Strong Bad, controlling his actions, hearing his innermost thoughts, oh boy, and becoming part of his awesome world. SBCG4AP.
You get to know that what it is actually just an email client for your Wii.
An email client? That sounds like a lot of fun, and it sounds like a must-have for the Wii.
Yeah. They said they're going to be 5 episodes. It's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. And like I said, my son was like, really? A game? Strong Bad? It's like, yeah. He's like, cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I've ruined him.
It's good to see, you know, something positive coming out of what, you know, at first appears like a hobby or a webtoon or something.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised with this kind of announcement, because I know they sell shirts and CDs and stuff on their site, but I didn't think they really made much money. So, yeah,
well,
they got cool.
They got Trogdor put in Guitar Hero 2.
That's right.
Someone made that's money right. on that.
Trogdor.
Yep, that's right.
He was a dragon man.
If we can just get Limousine some gigs.
Limousine in space! That was the worst movie ever.
You know what's funny is the watching that episode with Limousine doing their thing the whole time, it brought back so many memories of all those 70s, 80s cartoons. You know, they nailed it.
That was pretty bad.
It was bad.
All right, a quick rant.
What the Chuck? What's up with that?
All right, here's my two-minute adventure
away, Chuck.
Regarding Vista and Parallels. I didn't have enough time to put this in the last show, so I'll speak quickly and put it in this show. A couple weeks ago, I had a hard drive downstairs die that was running Windows Server, and I used it as a remote terminal to run Quick in 2007. Yeah, 7. Mm-hmm. So Donna could maintain our home finances. Well, the hard drive died, but the Quicken data was saved on another hard drive as one of the backups. So I thought, do I want to really try and rebuild a crappy old box? No. I bought her Parallels at Christmas. Let's just go out and buy a license of Vista, put it on there, and we'll be good to go. Mm-hmm. Vista started installing under Parallels, and it was slower than molasses in January.
In Wisconsin.
Got to the end. It said, I need to reboot. It rebooted. It started doing the post-installation and halted the entire machine.
Wow.
Lisa walked up and said, the thing was frozen. The mouse wouldn't even move. So she cycled power. I said, but the install might not have been done. Started doing it again. It did it again. It halted the entire machine. So Vista apparently doesn't get along well with Parallels. Start a little bit later with VMware the next day. Piece of cake. VMware installed just fine. Vista runs on VMware much better than it does on Parallels. Then I was able to get Quicken on there because Quicken 2008 only runs under XP and Parallels. So I wasn't going to invest a whole lot of money in XP since it's not going to be supported much beyond Service Pack 3. Isn't that due out?
Wait a minute. You believe that?
I believe it. Why?
I don't.
If you were a software author, come on. If you were a software author, how long would you want to support the old release?
No. What I'm saying is, Microsoft is not going to be dropping support.
They're still going to answer calls. They're just not going to do a whole lot of development effort on it.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Won't be Service Pack 4. There may be critical security patches for a while, but they're not going to keep putting out development stuff for it.
Yeah, just like they did with Windows 98.
Yeah, they eventually cut the strings on that, right?
Yeah,
and
eventually.
2000 and NT and all the other old stuff that everybody was calling up and saying, but.
No, I think there's more. I think there'll be more life to XP because Vista's only got a 6%. Vista's only got a 6% upgrade rate.
Isn't that sad? Is it going to be the ME of our generation?
It is because there's a lot of people either sticking with XP and they're waiting for Windows 7, or I was just reading an article today about how people are in that boat where they're not going to upgrade, or they're waiting for the next version of Windows. And Microsoft, I think, is missing the boat because just like we talked about and agreed that a lot of your software is superseding hardware anyway. So you run anything on anything. So what's the big deal?
Well, Vista isn't bad. It's just the drivers.
Yeah.
For all these devices, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But eventually they're going to get that worked out with all the vendors and we'll be good to go, right?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Well, remember when XP first came out? You know, couldn't just take any old drivers.
No, you could not.
It was a tough adoption rate there first.
Yeah, and you can tell Vista to use older drivers. You know, for some things it would work, but not everything.
But like Mike King says in the chat room, Vista's okay, but not as good as Leopard. You got to think about that. That's a huge tactical advantage for Apple to come in. Actually, well, they have been for a long time. You know, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC.
And you know what?
Yeah.
A lot. And I know it's over the top a little bit, but those ads are not that far off.
I know. Microsoft can't come back and say, hey, that's slanderous because they're not telling any lies.
Yeah, that's right. But hey, by the way, who recommended VMware to you?
The guys at work.
What?
Yeah, they've been running last summer.
No, Twitter.
I'm more than 2 minutes down the road on this one. We got to hop into the Geek Library after a quick break.
Anyway, hey, by the way, I will say I think VMware is the reason I suggested that to you. By the way, and we'll move on, is because VMware is cross-platform, and you can take your images and run them on something else. You could put them on Linux box, and if you wanted to,
that's true.
Parallels can't.
Thank you very much.
Parallels is good.
We'll be right back.
All right.
What is the weird show? UFOs, Bigfoot, frontier science,
magic,
outer space,
strange people,
robots, dinosaurs,
zoology,
wonders,
evolution,
trees,
alien life,
and mysteries,
the occult,
chupacabra,
the giant
artificial
intelligence,
alternative
ghosts, ancient
Aquatic
extreme food.
Meteors.
Environmental
wild analysis.
Language.
Science.
Memory.
Fiction.
Manipulation?
Ah, hell, I don't know. But it's a lot of fun. It comes out every week, and it's guaranteed to be weird. A roundup of news stories, some of which you may have heard of before, but you've never heard them like this. Find out more at uncaffeinated.ca.
Oh my God, they grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
I still want to play that song on Guitar Band.
Hey, it's Limousine playing the Technorama theme.
Julio writes in and sends us a link to the Honey Stick Project. Do you know what a honey stick is?
Something you stick in honey?
Well, I always thought it was one of those things we picked up at the farmer's market for a quarter and gave to the kids. It's kind of like a pixie stick, only it's got honey in it. No, that's not it. No. A honey stick is not what it seems. It may look like a lost USB drive, but may contain malicious programs or other mechanisms for gathering information about whoever picks it up or whatever system it gets connected to.
Actually, to be honest with you, I was thinking honey pot, actually,
reading Winnie the Pooh to Harrison again?
Yeah. No, we're past that point. Actually, he's reading to me now, which is
and
pretty
cool. And they're over at the Honey Stick Project, no, just honeystickproject.com. They use the same WordPress theme as Manager Roundtable. That's the first thing I noticed.
Nice.
But they put up regular postings about the Honey Stick Project. If you find a USB drive and you don't know what's on it, what should you do?
Format it.
But if you put it in your system and your system recognizes it, how are you going to do that before, how are you going to format it before it gets online?
Well, here again, the disadvantages of having a Mac and or Windows versus a Mac. You know, I don't know what's going to auto run on the Mac.
Not a whole lot. I did find one in our parking lot one time, and was aware of this project. This was probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, and somebody said, "Hey, what should we do with this? I don't want to put it on our machines because it might have a virus." So I hooked it up to my Mac and said, "It's just got a couple Word documents. Looks like it was the customer's." So you're right. If you've got a Mac or a Linux machine, or you could dual boot or something, that's one way to mitigate the risk. Not entirely foolproof.
You know, a dual boot or I would recommend, just as we were talking about, a virtual machine. You know, if you can have a virtual machine capture USB and open it up, you could, you know, if it messed up, you could just go back to the latest snapshot. But I don't recommend putting any, you know, willy-nilly just throw USB drives on your machine. This is as bad as carrying floppies around, you know, with viruses and stuff. So what I would probably do is, I'd hook it up. I'd be more apt to put it on a Linux box and look at it before I'd stick it on a Windows machine, honestly.
Could you format it on the Linux box so that it would work on a Windows box?
Absolutely. Linux has full support for FAT32.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
So,
We did find one, and I can't remember where. Somebody found one near the office, and it turns out it was an intern's, and they weren't there anymore, but we finally got it to them. So.
Okay. Let's keep moving along. We're running towards the end of the show, and we're up to our time limit. I am loving my LowPro camera bag.
Really?
This is not a paid endorsement. If it was, I would have let you know. But my, what's it called? The Sling Pack 200? Sling bag, sling, whatever it is. Really cool.
You got me confused now.
Got the new camcorder last week. Put that in there. I've got my Nikon D50 and the long lens and all the power adapters and USB cables and spare batteries, and I still got room to burn. That thing's awesome.
Now, I've got one. I've got the smaller one. So was this one too big for you, or you think it was about right?
No, perfect.
Okay.
Love it. We'll have to compare, because I wasn't sure what the size difference was in actuality between the 100 and the 200.
Mm-hmm.
So next time we get together, we'll compare, because mine's bigger than yours.
Whoa. You got a video. You got your video camera.
It's tiny. The video camera is tiny.
Wait. No, but you got it.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that on the next show.
Yeah, I tested it out last week. Lisa was at karate and I was firing off some shots. So I'll get some video posted up somewhere.
Yeah, I was just thinking last time you were getting it and you hadn't gotten it yet.
Nope, got it.
Sweet.
Came in, tested out, charged up, works great.
Yep.
I'm still waiting for the 2 gig SD card. Don't know where that went.
Oh, there's supposed to be one with it?
I ordered one on the same order.
Hmm. Don't know. Oh, I see. Well, hey, the
receipt said your equipment is shipped, gave me 4 tracking numbers because they were on 4 different orders for some reason. I was able to track the bag and the camera through DHL.
Mm-hmm.
The tracking numbers they gave me for the SD card and the SD reader had longer numbers because I think they were coming through mail or something, but they weren't being shipped.
Oh, right.
They won't track. Those two numbers will not register with DHL's tracking system.
Yeah, if people ship you something and cheap out and go with just the United States Postal.
No, it wasn't United States Postal. It was still DHL.
I mean, USPS, then sometimes they don't give you a tracking number unless you pay for it. So that's what I'm just saying.
Okay.
But, anyway. Hey, by the way, the SD card, if you put one in your camera, can you record video straight to it?
That's what I'm told.
Cool. That'd be sweet.
I know you can definitely do the pictures to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much... You wouldn't get a whole lot of video time out of 2 gig of memory, though.
No. Well, it depends on how they're recording it. Sure, you could.
What would be the advantage of that?
If you were somewhere and you just could take the SD card and stick it in your laptop, rather than having to carry cables or something, I don't know.
A USB cable is so bulky.
Yeah, I know. For somebody like you, no, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Okay. Just wondering.
We got 2 quick watches at the end. One is more of a wish list.
Yeah, and I'll buzz through these real quick. One of them is a cell phone / watch. And on the band,
well,
it has the
supposed
number
to be.
What's that?
It's supposed to be. I don't think this is out yet.
I don't know if it's out yet either. No, it said
LG is working on this.
Yeah, it says it's coming out. It should be about $475, which, to be honest with you, for a cell phone, a good cell phone, it's not that bad. And I'm sure you get deals with it if you get service. But just think, having a phone on your watch that's small enough it doesn't look like a goop, you know, you don't look like a goober walking around.
Yeah, but you'd be talking into your wrist like Dick Tracy.
No, Bluetooth.
Okay.
So if you had a Bluetooth thing, you know.
And that
awesome
looks even more dorky.
No.
Dude, I'm not wearing one of those in the office. Do me a favor and do not wear a Bluetooth headset around the office.
No, but hey, well, I'm not wearing Bluetooth, but we do have little wireless headsets for our phones. So I wear it around sometimes, but I don't walk around. If I had a Bluetooth headset for my phone, I would probably keep it on me. And if I'm driving the car, stick it on.
So yeah, about the only time I recommend using one.
Yeah.
It is highly not professional to wear those around the office. And we've got one guy at work that wears it all the frickin' time. Indoors, outdoors, in meetings.
No, I wouldn't wear it all the time, but I would wear it when it was... Like in the car, or I may even wear it if I was riding the bus. I could stick the thing in my backpack. I don't know, but I'm not gonna wear it walking around town.
If this comes to life, I'd like to see some reviews on it.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the next. This is over at Boing Boing. Hey, Boing Boing. Well, we're just like a walking ad for Boing Boing, but there's a watch on here. It's a digital watch, but the kicker is it's totally digital.
It's totally mechanical.
Wow, very nice. It's digital.
Now, it's so digital, much for that walking ad thing.
Yeah, but it's digital, but it's totally mechanical. It's really cool, so go check that out. And there's links to the site that actually has it on there. And they have two different versions, different colors. I think it's pretty fascinating. I'm surprised that nobody's come up with a digital watch like this that is mechanical before.
Looks really cool. Gears are showing and everything, but
hey,
yet it...
This one looks cooler than the cell phone watch.
Yeah, it does. Does it give a price?
I don't see a price, but you know what? I'm sure it's on here. Hey, if you have to ask...
You can't afford it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see if we can afford an ending to the show.
That takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call us on the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Put it in your speed dial. We'll love you forever. If you're outside the U.S. and you can't afford the long distance call, download Skype at skype.com, skype.com, and put Chuck Chat in your buddy list. Leave a message on our answering machine. We'll pick it up. We'll play it in the show. If you've got feedback, we want to hear from you. You can also email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. Visit the website for more information, chuckchat.com, including links to the tip jar. You can give one-time or monthly micropayment. If all of that is beyond your means, we also appreciate reviews on the iTunes Music Store. I don't know when the last time we got one of those is. It's been a long time.
Yeah, so, everybody, stop what you're doing. Pause the iPod and go do it now.
If you haven't already, a lot of people already have, and we greatly appreciate that. Add us as a favorite in Podcast Pickle or vote for us monthly on Podcast Alley. That's always a fun time, too. Thank you to the following people for donating their time and talent who help keep Technorama going. Mad Marv for providing all his great blog content during the week. If you're not subscribing to the full RSS feed or going to the website regularly,
you're missing out.
Thank you also to Scott Reynolds and Ustream, who keep our modest live streams going on Sunday nights. If you happen to be around Sunday, about 9:30 Eastern time in the U.S., join us. Go to chuckchat.com/webcam for all the information. See, hear, participate, be part of the Technorama experience.
Be one with your pod.
Great marketing line. Wish I'd thought of that earlier.
Yeah.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. You can also find us at Farpoint Media and all of the great audio content that lives there at farpointmedia.net. Till next time, we hope you appreciate this show. Oh, and don't forget to stick around for the special ending. Remember?
Yep, that's
after
right.
The binary high five. Tell a friend about Technorama and give me one of those their binary high five things.
1-0. 1.
Oh, hello, JT.
Hey, Homer.
Yeah, it's been a long time, hasn't it? When was the last time we did this?
It must have been years ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember it well.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's kick it old school.
All right, just try to keep up, old man.
I'll show you, old man.
Baby on board, how I've adored that sign in my car's window pane. The bounce in my step, loaded with pep, 'cause I'm driving in the carpool lane. Call me a square, friend, I don't care. That little yellow sign can't be ignored.
Telling you it's mighty nice.
Each trip's a trip to paradise. 'Cause I've got my baby on board.
Hey, Homer, you're a little flat there.
You're a little fat? I got your fat right here.
No, I said flat.
Oh, lucky you.
All right, well, anyway, we need more practice, so same time tomorrow. Good night, guys. Good night, Homer.
Good night, JT. And for the rest of you sitting around here, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.